Lamar Jackson just continues to be red hot. Here's Jackson on first down. And how about another? Marquise Brown, 18-yard touchdown strike again from Jackson. Got to go down for the ball, and then he gets free. Splits everybody, and look at this. Action Jackson still rolling and then getting up and coming just short of the goal line. Now, spot foul makes it a first and 18, and Mark Ingram just leaving Ram defenders in his path. Can he turn the corner and get in? Yes! We got a Jackson 5!
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Lamar with 5 touchdown passes.
Yeah, let's go Las Vegas here on this Tuesday. 2 days away from Food Day. Thanksgiving. I call it Food Day. I don't know. I still battle with the whole Thanksgiving thing. And us, you know, stealing the Indians' lands, Native Americans, and you know, putting them on reservations and then being like, yay, Thanksgiving. I don't know. I'm a millennial. What can I say? I don't own a dinner table. I hate turkey, and I'm kind of iffy on Thanksgiving. Blame the liberal, socialist, public school systems of Indiana.
Wait, we know that Indiana is not public, socialist, liberal school system.
Well, that's who raised me, man.
Well,
that and Jimi Hendrix. Maybe it's Hendrix.
I just look at the way that state votes and who their president.
I live there. No, you don't need to tell me.
Okay.
But it's proof that, you know, sane people can't come out of that state. I would just, Wes Reynolds, our buddy.
Yes. Well, very few and far between.
Yeah, well.
Dan Quayle.
We escaped. Escape from Indiana. Escape from New York. Snake Plissken. That's
You can make a movie now.
What?
Escape from Indiana.
Well, you absolutely
can. Yeah, because
pretty soon it's going to be Escape from America.
Yeah, well, that's the next step, right? You've escaped Indiana. You're away from the cornfields.
I'm going full Taylor Byrne here in a second.
Oh, man. Yeah, where's he? Czech Republic?
I think so, yeah. Former Cofield & Company member who deuced out.
He didn't even wait. Like, he was gone.
He could see
like
the writing on the wall. Him and my buddy Matt Radmanovich from the UFC, both of them threw up the deuces and...
Well, I'll be honest. If I did not have a 12-year-old son,
yeah,
I'd be deuces.
Yeah,
I'd be gone.
Well, you already were gone.
I was
you
gone.
Already, you already laid that table
ago. And I left during the Obama era.
Yeah. You were just being adventurous.
I never would have. Yeah, you know what? 2016 happened.
Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't fleeing. It was adventuring.
Yes.
A little different
context. Well, I kind of joked with one of the Canadian players on the Vegas Golden Knights. I won't mention who, but
that's
I joked that he had a sister. I'm looking for Canadian citizenship.
I'm looking for an inn. Can you get me an inn, Canada? Your clean streets, your French fries and gravy.
Socialized healthcare.
And speaking of the Vegas Golden Knights, obviously, Magnum, that is something we are going to be talking about today. Coming up in a half an hour, we're going to be joined by Ryan the Hockey Guy and VGK Frank, the Golden Knights insiders, because, you know, you said it yesterday, Magnum, but when we were finishing the show, you said they're going to lose tonight. They're going to lose Wednesday against Nashville, and they're going to come home on Friday against Arizona with some real tough questions to answer.
Well, the scary thing is if they lose tomorrow and to Arizona, then you're going to the East Coast, which has not been kind to the Golden Knights. Trips to Long Island, trips to New Jersey, trips to Madison Square Garden.
And when you say Long Island?
I mean the red hot, maybe possibly best team in the NHL, yeah. New York Islanders.
Not possibly. I mean, I haven't looked at the standings, and not that the standings entirely matter, but you look at the burner they went on last year.
Yes.
And then you look at them following up with, you know, who would have thunk that Barry Trotz
was that good of a coach?
Might be a good head coach. He wins the Stanley Cup here on Vegas home ice, right, for the Washington Capitals, and then those dummies, those morons, don't feel like re-upping him. But hey, their loss, Islanders gain. As I said, we will continue the conversation on the Golden Knights.
The funny thing is, you kind of joke about that, but the Capitals are actually ahead of the Islanders in the standings.
No way.
Yes. Now, granted, They've also played three more games.
Okay. I was going to say, because...
But they are 3 points ahead of the Islanders, who had gotten points in like 17 straight games.
They have like two more losses, though, right?
Islanders have four losses, two overtime losses compared to the Capitals' five overtime losses. But
okay.
91 goals for the Capitals.
Goodness gracious. All while Alex Ovechkin is out delivering pizzas.
Yes. To compare, the Golden Knights have 77 goals. They are dead even on the season. 77 goals scored, 77 goals allowed. I'm not liking that trip next week.
Well, no, there's not that to like. And as you said, you called the last night against a red-hot Dallas team doing what they did. And then obviously Nashville, we know how dangerous they are. Arizona has been a bane to our existence for a little while.
Yeah,
they play us hard every time they've met us. And
Nashville could be primed to be picked for some points because they've been struggling a bit as well. I would say they probably have underachieved more than the Golden Knights because I feel like they're more talented than the Golden Knights.
Only one of them was picked to win the Stanley Cup, at least out in Vegas.
Yeah.
In the Western Conference. So that was the Golden Knights. So if you want to talk about disappointment, I get what you're saying, especially Nashville being the perennial contender that they have been for all these years. But when you just look at the numbers and you look at the expectations that were surrounding Vegas and the fact that we are sitting here now, a 500 team, actually under 500 if you take in the overtime losses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not good, as you said. The continuation of that conversation coming up in about 25 minutes with the VGK Insiders. But let's go, man. You heard it. Joe Tessitore and Action Jackson.
It's the opening round.
Finish him.
Brought to you by VIP Collision.
Round one, fight.
First off, shout out to my guy, Joe Tessitore. Some people in this building don't like Joe Tessitore. But I like Joe Tessitore.
Even in this room.
I like Joe Tessitore a whole lot more, Magnum. Well, you can keep that Joe Tessitore. Hate to yourself, sir.
Yes.
Because as I was doing the Wilder Ortiz post show on Saturday night on SiriusXM with Jimmy Smith, we're about 15 minutes into the show. We're dissecting the fight as we saw it. And we get a little note, you know, the producer's talking in the ear. It's like, hey, we got Joe Tessitore on line one. He wants to chime in and give his thoughts on the fight. I was like, well, yeah, we'll go to Tess.
Does he know that we play his highlights every Tuesday?
Well, I didn't tell him.
Oh.
Anyway, he gets on the line. And he immediately starts off with what every radio host loves. I mean, flattery. You know, so he gets on the line. He says, I just had to call in because of the great job you and Jimmy are doing dissecting this fight and telling it how it is. You guys are spot on. You're doing a great job. And I was like, Joe Tessitore, thank you. And I got to thank him for him being the voice of EA Sports Fight Night. That's all I really remember from the conversation. I'm a mark. He did pigeonhole me very correctly, though, when he said, you know, when anyone tells me that. What am I looking at?
There is some breaking news.
Oh, when you made like the breaking news.
Yes.
You hear the break sign. I'm like, we have to go to break?
No, I didn't know.
Sorry for the pause there, listeners.
Yes.
I'm a fast talker. You're probably wondering why it went to complete dead silence there. Hold on. What do we got going on? Garrett Sparks is being recalled?
Yes. Now, there was a rumor circulating on Twitter. Someone did report that Marc-Andre Fleury was taking a personal leave of absence and that Garrett Sparks would be recalled. This was about 2 hours ago.
Who was the rumor from? Blue check mark or not?
No.
Well,
we'll just say
it
locally.
It doesn't even matter, really.
No, but they were right. They had it right. It was Sinbin.
Sinbin counts. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, I didn't.
Yeah.
When I said blue check mark, that was unfair. That was actually very snooty of me. I was just credentialed, legitimate.
Yes, legitimate.
Yeah,
legitimate.
That's what
yes,
I meant.
Very,
that's
very, very in tune and close to everything with
so
this
Sinbin
team.
So Sinbin reported that Marc-Andre Fleury is taking a potential personal day,
yes,
a personal leave of absence.
And Garrett Sparks would be recalled.
And Garrett Sparks
now,
has been recalled.
Now, 2 hours later, we get the message from the Golden Knights. Garrett Sparks recalled on an emergency basis. Now, rumors speculating about Fleury. I will not repeat any of those rumors. Sinbin did not know what the reason was.
Did he go back to those rumors from last year that we heard?
I don't think there's a connection.
Okay.
But I think last year he was injured.
Yeah,
but,
and again, I don't want to be vague, so it's best not to even.
Yeah, I won't go into what the speculation was because I have zero confirmation
right,
on that.
Right.
Those guys got it right. Fleury, he was not with the team, apparently. He will be leaving. And Garrett Sparks will be in Nashville tomorrow, would be my guess.
That's bad.
Yeah, and maybe Frank and Ryan will have a little more information.
Yeah. Well, they got 20 minutes to get some information. Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, we will follow up on that. Wow, interesting. Very interesting. Garrett Sparks being recalled to the Vegas Golden Knights on an emergency basis. Rumors of Marc-Andre Fleury potentially taking a personal leave of absence from the Golden Knights. Very interesting stuff. Back to Tessitore, obviously the voice of Monday Night Football. I was saying he called in to that SiriusXM show I was doing after Wilder and Ortiz. And I remember I said I gave him the rub for EA Fight Night. You know, he was the voice, for those of you that don't remember, the boxing video game that was on PlayStation. And he said, you know, Ryan, when usually someone tells me that, it lets me know that while they were in either high school or in college, they were listening to me say, what a right hand, instead of going to class and actually doing their homework. And I was like, Joe Tessitore, you are absolutely correct. That is absolutely the case. I was terrible in school. Hence why I'm on radio. But why do I bring up Joe Tessitore? Well, number one, to pat myself on the back. Number two, he is the voice of Monday Night Football and what we saw last night. Now, Magnum, I was out at the puck party over at Parkway Tavern at Tivoli Village, and thanks to everyone who came out. Good luck on the Finley Volvo-sponsored Golden Knights trip for two to an away game and a car rental. I keep saying, we're going to give you a car. Then I have to like preface it and say, okay, you're not getting a car, getting a rental car to drive around while you're at the away game. Point being, drawing for that will be coming up, I think, in about a month. We got another puck party planned on the docket. I'll keep you aware of that. You can come out and sign up for that. But we had William Karlsson sign pucks to give away and lots of good stuff last night. But point being, I'm watching the Golden Knights lose last night. But also, I'm just looking up at the screen and watching Lamar Jackson do incredible things. I mean, we are now at the point to where I made the comment on Twitter in the show rundown, but I do think it's apt. He's drawn a lot of comparisons to Mike Vick, and I think that's fair. I mean, he's making people run into each other. He's making people miss. He's arm strength, like athlete, probably not yet, but we don't exactly know either because he's second year and we're just kind of getting our first glimpses into what he can be. But my point is this feels good. From this standpoint, Magnum. We got to live with Mike Vick, and while Mike Vick was playing for the Falcons, it was the most amazing time that I can – one of the most amazing times I can remember as a football fan. Every time you would turn on SportsCenter, every time you would watch on Sunday, Mike Vick would do something that would leave your jaw on the floor. We had never seen anything like it. He was – you know, he was the next version of Randall Cunningham, Warren Moon, whatever you want to say. He was just that good. Then – obviously, the scandal breaks and Mike Vick is throwing dogs in dirt pits and electrocuting them and crushing their skulls with the heel of his boot. The reason I'm being graphic when I describe that is because 20 years later, or however long it's been less than 2015, it still sticks with me. I will never be able to look at Mike Vick, and I understand he served his time. I'm not trying to rehash this with Mike Vick in that way, right? He live his life. I don't have any necessarily ill will towards Mike Vick. I just can't celebrate Mike Vick. I will never be able to look past what he did. As a dog owner, he was an adult. I don't care about the culture he came from. I don't care about any of that. He did what he did, and he did it with a clear conscience on some level. He continued to do it. My point is now everything that he did, it's kind of like OJ. Granted, two very different circumstances, but I'm just saying in terms of the way it makes you feel, you can't enjoy their history anymore. I can't enjoy the fact, you know, in 14 games, O.J. Simpson broke the NFL rushing record for a season. You know what I mean? Like, I can't have that. I can't look back on what he did as an athlete and feel good about it. Same thing can be said about Mike Vick. I can't watch that. What was it, the Vikings game where he had the two Vikings guys run into each other?
Yeah.
Well, but I know what comes after that.
Well, and you can't celebrate that he was the first guy to go into Lambeau and win a road playoff game.
Well, there you go. None of that. You can't do any of
none
that
of
because
that, none
it
of that
you
matters.
With, right. It leaves you with a dirty feeling.
Yeah.
That's what's great about Lamar Jackson, though.
I had such a difficult time rooting for him when he was with the Jets.
That's what's so great, though, about Lamar Jackson, Magnum.
By all accounts, a good guy.
Well, right, but we're getting Mike Vick reincarnated, a new generation that has, you know, 24 years old. You didn't get to see Mike Vick, not that way.
Yeah.
I mean, 15, you definitely didn't. You're now getting to see what we were so excited about 17 years ago, 15 years ago. This freak of an athlete that is seemingly head and shoulders above anyone else who plays their position and leaving defense is completely clueless. Magnum, I don't know how Lamar Jackson gets beat, like, consistently. Like, I don't I understand. It's another thing you got to factor in. This is his second year. So as teams are scheming to stop him and trying to figure out how to stop him, he's starting to learn more about the league and figuring out ways to beat you even worse than he's already beating you now.
That run he had last night to set them up at the 1 yard line. He ran from like the 35, 40 yard line.
But it's a weekly occurrence now with him, just like Mike Vick.
Yeah.
Were you just, were you like, oh yeah, broke three tackles, did the spin move, gets him within the one, and yeah, that's normal because what? What are we watching? Well, and that's what's so special about this. I'm excited because I get to live this again essentially guilt-free. I get to sit, and I'm a Bears fan, we know this, right? I get to sit on the sidelines. This season's a wash for me. I have no vested rooting interest. I have no emotion other than a fan of football. And if you are a fan of a terrible team, you're a Jets fan, I'm a Bears fan.
Yes.
Maybe you're a Raiders fan, and who knows where they're playing. You still hold on to hope. I get that. I understand that. I'm just saying, you can look across this league right now, and there are so many exciting narratives to pull from, whether it be Russell Wilson's insane start or Frank Gore still seemingly being able to rack up yards. I know his averages, and you know probably
none
not
of that
the best.
Matters.
Right, none of it matters.
There's the feel-good that he's a top four, now all-time, rushers.
Yep. 100%.
I mean, the thing is, for me, it's funny you mentioned that you don't have a vested interest. For me, I'm a Jets fan first, and whoever's playing the Patriots fan second.
Fair enough.
And Baltimore, to me, right now...
Oh, they're the threat.
More so than Kansas. I never felt that Kansas City was going to beat the Patriots because of Andy Reid.
Well, okay.
I feel
fair.
Baltimore can beat the Patriots because John Harbaugh has beaten Bill Belichick in the playoffs before. John Harbaugh has a Super Bowl ring.
He did it without Lamar Jackson.
With Joe Flacco. Here's the other thing about Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
How many of his receivers can you name?
Mm.
I mean, you look at what they've done offensively.
Essentially, nobody's.
Yeah. I mean, you go back to that game on October 20th against the Seahawks. On the road in Seattle, blew out the Seahawks, 30 points.
Who I and among points. Others have labeled probably the best team in the NFC.
Yeah, 30 points, 37 against this vaunted Patriots defense. Right, best defense we've ever seen. Not to Baltimore. 49 against the Bengals. 41-7, they demolished the Houston Texans.
And then they do a similar thing to the Rams last night.
I think they ripped the heart out of Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, Sean McVay, and all of Los Angeles.
I'm glad
last
you
night.
Mentioned everyone on that team because you might be right about that. That might have been the swift kick in the teeth that Los Angeles, I'm not going to say needed because they are, first of all, that might have been, you might be right.
Like that team is done.
Well, that's the team, which is nuts because the team was just in the Super Bowl last year.
Yep.
Is now, when we look at the situation, we talked about this yesterday. Much rather be the Chicago Bears being able to part ways with Mr.
Trubisky. You're not divested or invested into a quarterback.
Right. So check this out. They have no first-round picks for the next 3 years. They've got massive contracts labeled or lauded on or lumped on, I should say, Todd Gurley and Jared Goff. Brandon Cooks, we don't know where he sits. He might be forced to retire. And there's other issues with this team. But you just look at strictly,
what did they give up for Jalen Ramsey?
Right, there you go. Well, that part of the no first-round picks for the next 3 years. But more specifically, the massive contracts of Todd Gurley, who is a shell of himself, and Jared Goff, who was never himself, but you just rolled the dice to make him the highest-paid player ever. And it's clear that he's certainly not deserving of that status, that paycheck, whatever the case may be. Now, the gaze is on Los Angeles in a way that we never thought it would be. The boy genius, Sean McVay,
has been exposed.
Is looking like anything but. The love fest with him is turning. Because if he was this offensive genius, you would manage to score more than they did last night.
Well, you would get much better results from Jared Goff.
You
not against the Ravens.
Other teams.
But
the Bears. Anyone.
Yes, the Bears. The Cardinals. Right now, I'm more high on the Cardinals than I am on the Rams.
Because of one person.
Yeah, Kyler Murray.
Yep.
I mean, and he's getting it done without David Johnson.
Well, that's a whole... David Johnson might be Todd Gurley. But I get what you're saying. And you know what? Hell, I might be higher on the Cardinals. I don't know. Because I don't know what to think about the Rams, but I know they have a disastrous situation in Los Angeles that I don't think is going to be getting any better.
And then you have that other team there that nobody wants. So if you're an LA football fan...
Those don't exist.
No. Grim future.
Yeah. That is... Wow, what a massive, massive swing in turn of events. Full disclosure, I had the Rams in the Super Bowl this year. So, I'm as stunned as a lot of other Rams fans or people out there that don't exactly know what's going on, but it's very clear. Now, I wasn't high on Jared Goff, But I fully thought that he was a capable quarterback. Didn't think he was ever worth the most money in
NFL
history.
No, he never was.
But I understood to an extent why they did it. Because you wanted to make that a part of the system. You wanted to make it McVay and Goff. You had great results. You led him to the Super Bowl. He had a game last year where he threw for like 6 touchdowns. There were flashes of brilliance. Now, again,
he's taken a lot of steps back.
Well, he has.
And I mean, not steps back. I mean, he's jumped backwards off the cliff.
And that's Trubisky, right? It's the same thing. I don't know if it's year 3 and people have tape. I don't know exactly what the
reason is. I just don't think he was ever that good.
Well, that could be it, too. Propped up by a single season and just a magical run. I don't know. But Los Angeles Rams, obviously.
I mean, the reality is they shouldn't have even been in the Super Bowl last year.
That goes without saying, right? Obviously, the call in New Orleans and everything and how that played out. But
and their defense is what got them there. And their defense is not
clearly. And you look at Marcus Peters landing for the Baltimore Ravens and what he's doing with them. And that is the other thing. You talk about their defense. I thought, at least on some level, that defense with Brockers, with Aaron Donald, with the linebacking core that they have, with the second, they have a good defense. I figured on some level they would be able to minimize, not stop Lamar Jackson, but
well, Aaron
minimize.
Donald thought they were going to stop Lamar Jackson.
Well, yeah, he should. He's the best defensive player arguably in the game, but obviously that defense was exposed last night. Now, if Lamar Jackson does this to San Francisco next Sunday, then all bets are off. I'm coming here on Monday with my hair on fire. It's going to be a Lamar Jackson love fest. No, I'm dead serious, man, because if he does this to Seattle, to New England, right? To Los Angeles, and then to San Francisco. And San Francisco's the real key, because I think Bosa and that defensive line has a real ability to get wide and to contain him and to keep him corralled. Now, if he can exceed that, if he can deal with that, and if he could do what he's been doing, not 5 touchdowns, but put up a couple touchdowns, win the game, and do it authoritatively.
If they put up 30 points again, I mean, because I don't think their defense has given up 30 points.
Just give him the MVP.
Yeah.
If they do that, just give them the MVP, because I don't want to talk about it.
The crazy thing is, it's so funny how the NFL is the word cyclical, where it like repeats itself.
I think cyclical?
Cyclical?
Yeah.
It's a hard word.
Cyclical?
So here we are with a potential Super Bowl preview of the 49ers and the Ravens. Two teams that met in the Super Bowl not too long ago with two completely different quarterbacks, two completely different cast of characters. And yet, the Ravens, I know Ozzie Newsome's not there anymore, but that guy's got to go down as one of the greatest general managers in the history of the NFL for the job that he's... I mean...
No question.
Because they've won 2 Super Bowls with him as their GM.
Very likely looking at a third.
They're potentially looking at a third Super Bowl with a team that he basically built.
They've got to be the front runner right now.
I wonder what...
Gun to the head, if you're picking a person to win the Super Bowl right now, it's the Baltimore
Ravens. I'm picking Baltimore.
Absolutely.
After what they did to the Patriots, and granted, I know it wasn't in New England, I don't care. I mean, to me, that team, the Patriots can't go up and down the field and score with them. I mean, Tom Brady will play fine, and I'm sure he'll you know, have his magic, and he'll find ways to score points. But, I mean, if they got into a track meet with Baltimore, they're not going to win that game.
And here's what's fun about all this that's happening. Yes, it's fun watching Lamar Jackson do what he's doing, but it's also fun watching all these Johnny-come-latelys. Bill Polian doesn't fit that mold, but Bill Polian is the one that said maybe he should try being a wide receiver. And here's the other thing. Lamar Jackson probably would be a good wide receiver. Probably be a good running back. Well, he's just a better quarterback. He's just that good of an athlete.
The funny thing is, I wanted, and I knew the Jets would not take him because they were drafting so high.
Yeah.
I wanted him over Sam Darnold.
Well, a lot of people. I mean,
I wanted Teddy Bridgewater, too. So,
yeah, I wanted a lot of people before Mitch Trubisky. No, what we are living is pretty special. But, of course, when you're living in these special times, everyone's got to have an opinion, right? Everyone's got to set themselves apart from the pack. Everyone's going to have a take. And, oh, my favorite. And I don't want to be – I can't stand him. And I don't bring him up too much. We've had our beefs on Twitter. But this is why I don't like him. Because he's devoid of logic. He's devoid of transparency. It's just, it's clear what he's trying to do, and it's disgusting. Clay Travis. Clay Travis from Fox Sports. The only thing that I've ever seen work long-term in the NFL is pocket passing quarterbacks. Maybe Lamar is a unicorn and NFL history doesn't apply to him, but I remain skeptical based on league history. The NFL catches up to everything else. How's Russell Wilson doing? How did Steve Young do? Besides all that, how do you not mention that Lamar Jackson threw for five touchdowns last night. Threw for five touchdowns. He didn't run five touchdowns in. They weren't bootlegs. At least I don't think the majority of them were.
No.
Point being, he threw five touchdowns from the pocket, you idiot. And these race baiters and these clowns out here, let's just say what it is. The running black quarterback can't sustain.
Yeah.
That's all you're trying to say.
The reality is Michael Vick took himself out of the league. 100%.
Had he stayed in with the Atlanta Falcons with no controversy, Mike Vick would have been one of the best players we've ever seen.
Yes.
He already was.
Yes. The thing is, the league is changing. You look at the quarterbacks now around the league, right? I mean, Deshaun Watson, he's not a pure pocket passer, right? I mean, you've got, granted, Cam Newton, the guy won an MVP. I mean, he's not the proto. Him and Ben Roethlisberger are very similar quarterbacks. I mean, Roethlisberger was never afraid to tuck it and go. But I don't know. I think we are seeing a morphing of the game to where quarterbacks now are going to become more and more athletic. You know why? Because the college game has morphed into mobile athletic quarterbacks.
Also, the athletes are just better.
Yes.
That's what happens with each generation.
Yeah.
You get a Bo Jackson meets a Joe Montana.
Him making that comment.
Just what happens.
Is akin to the dope who said, oh, 3-point line in basketball? Well, that's just dumb. That's not going to work.
Right. And then he ends it up.
Now we have guys who are 7 feet tall who can hit threes in the NBA.
Anthony Davis. Anthony freaking Davis.
Oh, Kevin Garnett.
Dirk Nowitzki.
He's just a freak,
right.
Kevin Garnett.
Yeah. He's an outlier.
He completely changed the game.
Yeah, and he was the absolute measuring point for when the game shifted and he showed everyone what was possible.
Yes. Now you don't have to have a guy like Craig Hodges or Steve Kerr.
Now you see what's possible.
You have guys like Durant.
Kevin Durant. Guy who moves like a point guard and can take shots from anywhere on the floor.
Because the game evolves. Athletes get better.
It is incredible. Now I will say this. Clay put in a little qualifier. But for now, Lamar is fun to watch. Just like he was at Louisville. Props to Ravens Brain Trust for designing an offense just for him. Curious to see how long this run will go. Can we just...
Does it really matter, though?
No, but it's just this. It's a system. Maybe Lamar Jackson is so
good.
They had to design a system for him.
Yeah.
He would probably flourish. And that was the thing I said about Saquon Barkley when he was coming up. I had this argument with other people at this station. He can't run between the tackles. Okay, that may be fine. He can jump over the tackles. He is clearly that type of athlete. He was so much better than everyone else on the field. He'll find a way. That is what we're seeing with Lamar Jackson right now. It is special to watch. Now, there is an injury concern, and maybe that's what Clay was talking about. Maybe when he says the NFL, I don't think it was, because I think he was talking about scheming and people figuring him out.
Yeah.
I think if you want to talk about mobile quarterbacks, you can look at Cam Newton. You can look at other people who have beaten themselves up and took extreme risks, RG3.
Steve Young's career ended.
Yes, Steve Young. And I did.
Due to injury. I know you mentioned him, but, you know, his career did end because of injury. Yeah. But I wonder if there were any of these questions about Steve Young when he was winning a Super Bowl with the 49ers. mobile quarterback. That'll never work in the league.
Probably not. All right. All right. We're going to end the show with Papa John.
I'm biting my tongue.
Because I had you pull Papa John audio. Papa John has spoken. John Schnantner. Obviously embattled Papa John owner who was forced to sell
shares. I wish I had that
shares.
Cofield drop. Jackass.
Yeah, Cofield's very happy at the fall of Papa John. We all are. Terrible human being. Finally getting his comeuppance and not looking good. Speaking of not looking good, we'll save Papa John till the end of the show. Vegas born, the Vegas Golden Knights, looking anything but not good. Not as bad as Papa John. I will say there's hope for the Vegas Golden Knights. It is just dwindling on a day-to-day basis. We're going to talk with the VGK Insiders coming up next. Ryan, the hockey guy. VGK Frank coming up next here on the Mac Attack.
You're listening to the Mac Attack.
All right. Vegas, we are back here on the Mac Attack. I am Ryan McKinnell, got Chris Chapman across the way, and we are joined right now by the VGK Insiders, VGK Frank and Ryan, the hockey guy. Guys, what is going on? Not like an introduction, what is going on, but what is going on?
Don't we all wish we knew? I think you're talking about Garrett Sparks, right?
No, so, not yet.
No.
I think he's talking about everything.
I'm talking about 11-11-4. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, is that the record? Yeah. I stopped looking at that a while ago.
That's probably smart. You went Trubisky? You turned off the TVs in the locker room and just ignored everything?
See, the thing for me is, like, I don't have to be emotionally invested in this team.
No, right?
Like, I can just kind of shut all that out and then go from there. I honestly, when you told me the record, that's the first time that I've actually been made aware
now,
that the Golden
that's
Knights
not true.
Are just
you weren't paying attention
team.
Last night in the postgame show. I mentioned it several times.
Oh, no.
Just
I know you mentioned
out.
It.
That was very just traumatic for Ryan. He was just very, it was a long day. It was coming out. He had the VGK Insider Show, pregame, intermission.
Well, hold on. I do that because I don't necessarily need results. Like, fans need results, right? Like, everybody needs results. If you're a fan, you need to see Mark Stone put the puck in the back of the net. You need to see Max Pacioretty score goals.
You're rooting for your team.
You need to see this team start winning games.
Right.
What I need to see in terms of how I break things down is this team better this game than they were last game? Is the process gotten better? Have they gotten closer to what makes them a respectable, better than average NHL team? And I can tell you, regardless of the results,
right,
they have not.
Well, I was to say, or if it's gotten worse, you want to know why.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly the question right now that a lot of people want to know is, why can't this team score?
Yeah. Well, because
we all just kind of like, that's a great question.
I'll answer it. Their defensemen are not mobile enough. They're not getting the puck out of their own zone quickly enough. They're chasing the game more often than not. They are not defending well in their own zone, which is leading them to get scored on first, which is then taking them out of their rhythm offensively. They don't have four lines that can roll that pressure into the offensive zone and win shift after shift after shift. And then you couple that with the fact that Cody Eakin was, for a time, your second line center, and through the hard work and the might and the general trying of Mark Stone to turn Cody Eakin into a guy that could put some points on the board,
yeah,
it just didn't materialize. There were multiple times throughout the Cody Eakin experiment where he could have had 3, 4, 5 goals in a game simply because of the hard work of Mark Stone, and he just didn't finish. So, long story short, they don't necessarily have the players, I think, in the right positions to succeed. They don't have the defensemen to really allow this team to play a transition up-tempo style. And Cody Eakin is not a second-line center. You keep forcing that, it's not going to work out. You go back to it immediately, Paul Stastny scores a goal, which he did last night.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that at this point, you need a defenseman. And you need to figure out a way to score more than 2 goals and make it difficult on opposition teams.
Frank, it sounds like to me, when he says you need a defenseman, the way he said it, trade?
Well, I mean, if you can, remember, they're up against the salary cap.
Yeah.
So, and the thing about making a trade, you can't make a trade just for trade's sake. You've got to make the trade that's going to help the team. Well, every other team in the league knows what you're trying to do as well.
Right.
So they're not just going to give you something.
Right.
You have to try
especially after that first year in the draft.
Yeah.
I don't know how much equity you built. Yeah.
You have to try to do one of those unique situations where a trade actually helps both clubs because the other team's trying to get something out of it as well. So it's not, and then you got to worry about the salary cap and the dollars and the cents and everything else. And then is that person that you're trading for, is it really what you're hoping he's going to be? Is he going to fit in with the team? Is he going to fill that role that you want him to? You know, I mean, there's a lot of things to it. There's a lot of chemistry and other things out there. So there are some definite problems with this team. I know Ryan and I have talked about several times as well. We're both on the same page. We'd like to see Cody Glass get a shot at playing center. You know, maybe play.
Well, look at how great he was
something.
To start the season at center.
I mean, let him be the third line center or something. But you know, there's a lot of different things to it right now. But for whatever reason, they're not scoring as much. And if a goaltender goes into a game thinking, I've got to be perfect or almost perfect to get us a win, that's a heck of a lot of pressure. You make a mistake, and all of a sudden you're out of a game. And the one thing that Vegas has had going for them all year long is the special teams have been sensational. Last night they weren't. The power play, and it's not like it's terrible, but last night they had 4 consecutive power plays. No goals in the second period. Dallas had 3. They converted on 2 of them. What was the final score? 4-2. 2 power play goals and 3 chances, 0-4. What was the difference in the game last night? Might have been special teams.
Yeah, definitely wasn't Malcolm Subban. Although I would, you follow Twitter, could be an entirely different story here with Frank Harnish.
Well, Twitter
Ryan
knows
Wallace.
Everything. Yeah. Twitter knows everything. Social media is the absolute gospel.
Well, of course, that is Frank Harnish. Got Ryan Wallace, the VGK Insiders here. All right, guys, so concern level right now. What is it? 1-10.
3. they're 1 point out of a playoff spot. Like, okay. Like, I get it.
It's the way they're losing, though, and the fact that they're not beating good teams, right?
Sure, sure. I get it. I understand that. But at the same time,
I just like, you're like, yeah, three. You're like the opposite of Twitter. You're like
I try to be.
Yeah, it's probably it's probably a great way to brand yourself.
I think that proves I'm a good person.
Ryan, not Twitter, Wallace.
So here's the thing, right? Like, they're 1 point out of a playoff spot. Yeah. They were actually, with the loss at a time last night, still in the wild card
spot.
And
I was going to say, they were in worse spot last year around this time, weren't they, in terms of being under 500?
But of course, that's when they didn't have Nate Schmidt the first 20, and that was the reason why he came back, and the skies opened up, and the sun started shining again, and the world was wonderful.
Well, the question for me is, I know that everybody wants them to make the playoffs. What are they going to do when they get there? Like, I understand.
I think that Fleury goes...
Finish that.
Yeah, no, so he goes nuts. Yeah, yeah.
Shouldn't you be relying on something else?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. And that's my point. Like, I don't care about results because it doesn't matter. If you go and let's say Marc-Andre Fleury, for the sake of argument, we'll get into why he probably won't play tomorrow. But let's just say for the sake of argument, Marc-Andre Fleury goes on an absolute tear for the next 10 games. He's unbeatable. Maybe he allows 6-7 goals in a 10-game stretch, and the Golden Knights only continue to score 2 goals, but they win the next 10 games. Yeah. Has anything been fixed? Has anything been fixed? No, I don't care about the results. I want to see this team playing better. Until they play better, then you can start to worry about all the playoffs and stuff. But to me, unless they start playing better, they're not going to do anything.
So it just sounds like to me, you don't think this is a playoff team.
Right now, they're not. Right now, they're absolutely not. The way that they are playing hockey, they are not a playoff
team. All right, so let me ask you this, Frank. How devastating would it be to Las Vegas if in year three, coming into this year, as Stanley Cup favorites, according to the books, the Western Conference, they don't make the playoffs? What type of reckoning would this organization be looking at?
Well, I think it would be devastating to the fan base in a lot of ways because their expectations, maybe they were too high. Going into this, they see a team make the Stanley Cup final the first year. Last year, in most people's mind out here, they were Stanley Cup finalists again.
But Frank, just the fan base, though. This was Vegas. Bettors. This was across the country.
No, I understand some of that. But you know what? Again, St. Louis won the Stanley Cup last year. They were last place at the start of January. Who had them winning the Stanley Cup? Strange stuff happens. A lot of bounces, a lot of things. The Stanley Cup is supposed to be hard to win. You know, how many teams from last year had teams in the playoffs that weren't there the year before? Hockey's very cyclical that way.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of different things that go into it. When Ryan said that his level would be a 3 a concern, I'd say 4 or 5 right now. And I'd say it for a couple reasons. Because they're not playing well right now. And there's not a guarantee that all of a sudden you just keep on going and just keep grinding away and that things are going to go your way. There definitely needs to be some problems that they need to be solved. And the other reason that I would make it a little bit higher is because the Pacific Division is better this year. Arizona's better. Vancouver's better. Edmonton's better. Calgary might not be better, but they don't necessarily have to be. You look at it, the top 3 teams in the Pacific right now, they're 3 teams that didn't make the playoffs last year. So that's where my concern will be a little bit higher, because even if Vegas is as good as they were or as good as people think that maybe they should be this year, the other teams in the division have improved as well.
Yeah.
The Vancouver Canucks are 3-6-1 in their last 10 games. So they're ahead of the Golden Knights, but they are struggling also. The Arizona Coyotes, while I still think they're a good team, they're 5-4-1 in their last 10 games. So if the teams in front of the Golden Knights were running roughshod, if they were going 8-2...
And if it was the perennial teams like the Sharks or the Kings, you knew that, these are guys who can be Stanley Cup contenders. They've shown in the prior... I get what you're saying, consistency.
Yeah, and the Sharks have gone on a tear, and it's gotten them to baseline. So the only difference between the Sharks and the Golden Knights is the Golden Knights started out well, and then they have been through a slump. The Sharks started out dismally, and they've played just well enough to get themselves back to 500. Those two teams right now, to me, are equal. The Vancouver Canucks, they have had a dismal, dismal month of November. It has not been very kind to them. They were great in October, not so great in November. Can they figure out how to do this for 82 games and make themselves into a good team, a playoff team? That remains to be seen. They're a young team. They've got a lot of talent, but talent doesn't win you many hockey games, as we're seeing with the Golden Knights. So to me, it's totally a situation where you have teams that are all clumped together from 2 to about 7 in the division. I don't care if the Golden Knights are out of a playoff spot right now. Will they be out of a playoff spot in January, in February? I don't necessarily think they will, because a lot of what's happening with this team, I think, is mental. A lot of what's happening with this team is that they just don't have that confidence that they can string together some wins. And once they get a win streak of 3 or 4 games, look out.
And I guess the good news is they're winning against the Pacific Division, which matters. I mean, it's something they've done in the past, and they're on some level, I know, slumping right now to an extent. But beating the teams they need to beat in terms of the division most of the time, but obviously a long season ahead. One thing I do want to touch on before we get you guys out of here, Garrett Sparks being recalled on an emergency basis. Marc-Andre Fleury, no official word on him yet, but Sinbin had put out a few hours ago that he was going to be taking a personal leave of absence. And I guess I know we don't have a lot of information, but just like gut or just initial reaction, I don't get the feeling that this is going to be a long leave of absence for Fleury. Like, do you guys have any idea what we could potentially expect?
Really not sure.
Yeah.
I could see it being a game. I could see it being potentially more than that, just simply because we don't know the extent of why or what is going on. But, you know, they play Wednesday, they play Friday. That's two games in 3 days. So potentially, I think you're looking at Garrett Sparks getting at least one of the next two games.
Oof. All right. That's an interesting topic, because Malcolm Subban last night, we were talking about it, right, Frank? He took a brunt of the venom that was being thrown out.
Well,
by
he
the
always
Golden
does.
He does. Huh? Wonder why that happens. But no, listen. I look at tomorrow, Nashville, obviously perennial Western Conference powerhouse. That's not the spot for Sparks, but I can't say it's a spot for Subban either, especially looking at the game he's coming off of against the Red Hot Stars. What do they do? What do the Knights do in this situation?
Well, you say it's not a spot for Sparks or Subban, but in reality, Nashville hasn't been playing that great of late. They've been struggling a bit lately, including on home ice, and Victor Arvidsson is gone for 4 to 6 weeks. He's arguably their best offensive player. He has led the team in goals the last 3 seasons, so you can certainly make that case for him. Pekka has been terrible lately. In fact, we might be seeing the phase out. I know you mentioned it yesterday, Ryan, that we might be seeing the start of the UC Saros era
really there
in Nashville. Because Pekka, I think he's been pulled like 3 of his last 5 games or something. He has not played well at all. So
do we know how old Rene is off the top?
Okay. The thing about goaltending, you know, it's so cyclical. You know, it's such a it's a mental issue a lot of times too. You know,
yeah.
You lose the confidence, you start getting pulled or whatever. So this actually might. I mean, with the way Arizona's been playing of late, and then 3 more games on the road right after, this might be the most winnable game on paper that they're going to have in a while.
Yeah, Rene, 37
years old.
Yeah.
The Nashville Predators are 3-6-1 in their last 10 games, but they are on a 2-game win streak, and the goaltender for both of those games was UC Saros, and it was the first time in UC Saros' career that he has started 2 straight games with Pekka Rinne healthy.
Mm.
So
writing could be on the wall then.
I would expect to see UC Saros tomorrow if you're the Golden Knights.
Do you expect to see Garrett Sparks?
See, I go back and forth on this one, and the only reason I think that you go to Malcolm Subban tomorrow against Nashville is historically, he's played well against Nashville. You remember year one, it was that big win on the road against Nashville. It was Malcolm Subban in net where everyone kind of said, oh, man, maybe the Golden Knights are actually for real.
Oh, that was that Malcolm versus PK game, right?
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly.
That's
and,
right.
And Peter Laviolette didn't give us that shootout that we all wanted to see because he's a jerk. Anyway, so all that being said, I think you maybe go to Malcolm Subban there, but more so than anything else, if you end up playing Garrett Sparks, and Garrett Sparks gets a win this year before Malcolm Subban,
he's your backup.
I mean, what are you going to do if you're right. Kelly McCrimmon and George McPhee? Like, you're in a situation then where you have to make some type of decision eventually, right? Like, I can see it essentially hamstringing the Golden Knights. I don't know that. I want to see what Garrett Sparks has with this team. I saw what he had with the Toronto Maple Leafs last year. It wasn't impressive, but everyone keeps telling me on Twitter that Garrett Sparks is the answer, so let's see it. I want to see it.
All right, there you go.
Well, outside of Oscar Dansk, of course, because some people on Twitter still think that he's the best goalie and the best answer.
They have very long memories until they don't want to have a long memory. I don't know. Very confusing.
He had the first shutout.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think that's why Ryan's sitting there saying, yo, if Garrett Sparks goes out and wins tomorrow, you're going to have so much of that. So much noise and so much
social media
conflict.
Will be fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, isn't it always?
There just will never be a way for Malcolm Subban to win here in Vegas. Like, if Garrett Sparks legitimately comes in and gets a win this season before Malcolm Subban, he's never going to win here in Vegas, ever.
Mm. Interesting times for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah, I was just saying. Luckily, there is still plenty more of the season. And hey, glass half full. You said it, Frank. St. Louis Blues, worst team in the league in January last year. We're Super Bowl. We're Stanley Cup winners when the season was over. So I guess at the end of the day, you can hold your hat on that, Vegas Golden Knights fans. But chaos abound heading into Thanksgiving. Frank, Ryan, appreciate it. What you got coming up on the show?
Well, we're going to talk to Mike Johnson of the NHL Network about Mike Babcock being a crappy coach and about Bill Peters and everything that's kind of going on right now with Calgary Flames and some of the alleged things Bill Peters has said about a certain player 10 years ago that may wind up getting Bill Peters fired. And when it does, it'll probably end up sparking the Calgary Flames to be a good team because Bill Peters is a bad hockey coach. And then I think we're going to spend some time on the Marner stuff and the Babcock stuff because it's just too dang good.
And just for you, we're also going to mention a little bit about Robin Leonard, the goaltender in Chicago.
Robbie, yeah, let's go.
Robin, it's time for a shootout. Put in somebody else.
No, Leonard. No, I'll take him in any situation.
He just said he wants to be. He said he has no problem if the coach takes him out for a shootout because he's not good at him.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
You can?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if they get to a shootout, if it's still tied and it goes to a shootout, he's saying if you want to put Crawford in, I'm down with it.
You can Julie the Cat Gaffney that for sure.
I like it. 100%. I like it. Yep. I like that little Mighty Ducks reference there.
I'm not the hockey guy for no reason.
Well, Come on. I should mention all the Mighty Ducks movies on new Disney Plus. Just found that out as I was scrolling through it. Very good times. All right, guys. Frank, Ryan, I appreciate the time as always. We'll catch up with you down the road, hopefully when the Knights are above 500 in a couple weeks. That would be the dead stare from Ryan the hockey guy.
Let's do it.
It could be as soon as after tomorrow.
Yeah,
you don't know.
Yeah, that's right, Frank.
They 26 points in 26 games. I believe that's 500.
Glass half full, Frank Carter. So that's right. All right, guys, we're going to put a plug on it. Take a quick break. We'll be right back here on the Mac Attack.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
So, Papa John's a terrible person, right, Magnum? I'm not trying to, like, you know, I'm not holier than thou. I certainly have my faults. I'm not a perfect human being, but, I mean, not, like, throwing out the N-word and, like, not paying my employees and doing all the terrible things that Papa John's done.
You can't raise the price of my pizza 15 cents to give people insurance.
Right. He's just not a good guy.
No, he's a horrible
Ball State alum. Ball State alum, like myself. The three most famous Ball State alums, David Letterman, Jason Whitlock, and Papa John.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, at least we got one out of three.
Yeah.
You know, Letterman's clearly awesome. Yeah. And even Letterman had his, with the staffers and sexual advances, even then. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe everyone's terrible to come from Ball State. But
they're all, yeah.
But we remember Papa John, the face of Papa John. Let's hear from Papa John, you know, a few years ago when he was the face of Papa John's doing his commercials. Completely normal. This is the Papa John we remember.
Our better ingredients, better pizza, really better. Here, Papa John. We're fanatics about quality. Nobody does, but Papa John's does.
Yeah. All right, there you go. That was Papa John's from one of his classic commercials. Now I want you to hear Papa John. Recently, he gave an interview, I think within the last week. A very red, a very sweaty, a very confusing interview. Magnum, hit this. This is Papa John in 2019.
I've had over 40 pizzas in the last 30 days. Livy currently and Mark Shapiro should be in jail. He has no pizza experience. He's never been in the pizza category. I would just say, stay tuned. The day of reckoning will come. The record will be straight.
Why not set the record straight now? I mean, what is
now,
it about
go,
the
go
record
ahead. You can
that's
cut that.
Not
You're fine.
Straight?
You hear that?
Oh, yeah.
That is not doctored audio. You can hear the lips smacking. You can see the red face. You can hear the decline in the
voice.
He's
always wet.
Yeah, he's always wet. Now, listen, I am not a drug expert necessarily, but just go look up the symptoms of frequent cocaine use. You're going to see a lot of those things happen to Papa John. Again, I'm not saying he's on cocaine, but I'm definitely not saying he's not on cocaine. But he did say, he had 40 pizzas in 30 months?
30 days?
No, 40 pizzas in 30 days. No one on cocaine's eating 40 pizzas in 30 days, so maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. See you tomorrow, friends.